When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Darryl, what's going on with the dome?
The governor came in last week to try and mediate some things between the city of Cleveland and Browns ownership. We'll see. I do think that this Modell lawsuit is going to get settled.
Oh. The Browns are suing the city so far, right?
Well, the reason that they're suing is because they didn't want the city jamming up their timeline with a lawsuit while the Browns are already constructing a dome.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be investing that kind of money in a building and then all of a sudden a court says, oh, by the way, you're not even allowed to play in it. So the Browns filed that. I think that suit will ultimately get settled. I think the Browns are going to have to cut a check to the city of Cleveland. I'm not saying it's right. I think it's ridiculous. They will have fulfilled the terms of the lease. They should be able to walk away. The spirit of the Modell law was to keep teams in their respective markets in Ohio, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland. The Browns are remaining in the market. They're not going off to San Antonio, Texas, or to some faraway market. The city of Cleveland can't afford the Browns to begin with. They can't afford stadium debt. They can't afford the things that come with having three pro sports teams in town. But the city's going to, I think, get their pound of flesh from the Browns. I think that the deal's going to, this is just my opinion. I want to stress that to folks, okay? Just based on some things I've heard, this is my informed opinion, what I believe is going to happen. I believe that the Browns will agree to demolish the existing stadium.
And wow, that's nice of them. Because I think if the city of Cleveland wanted to play hardball in this, we'd be sitting there with that dome for years. I'm sorry. We'd be sitting there with the stadium for years.
And then I also think that the Browns will make a contribution toward the redevelopment of that land. They will. I predict that they will also make a financial contribution to assist with the redevelopment of the land. Which, by the way, neither of those things the Browns are responsible for. Neither of those things the Browns should be obligated to do. But I think that you know how it goes. You have to grease.
Sounds like a big shakedown to me, baby.
That's what it sounds like to me too. But I think that's how this gets resolved. I don't know where the county is going to fit in on this. You know, Chris Ronayne,
the county doesn't even know Brook Park is in Cuyahoga County.
Yeah. You know, Chris Ronayne has been very resistant. He doesn't really want to talk to the Browns about this. He's adamant that they stay downtown. One area that I think Chris has a significant argument and that I have a concern with is NEO Trans blog. Want to give them some credit here. I read their piece over the weekend. They spoke to RTA. Remember, there's the red line that goes out to the airport.
Right.
Well, they spoke to RTA and the Browns have not contacted them. There's no engagement. There are no talks. There are no plans to extend and build a rapid transit stop for the dome. And I think that is not great on the Browns' part. I think that complex should absolutely be accessible by public transportation. And, you know, a driving force behind this whole project, Andy, is the parking.
Oh,
honestly,
for sure.
I think if the city of Cleveland said to the Cleveland Browns, we will give you all the parking spaces around the stadium, the Muni lot, the Willard garage, the North lot, the pit lot that's on the western side of the stadium, we'll give you the revenues for all that. And that goes into your pockets. I think the Browns would renovate the existing stadium and stay.
Wow.
But the city's not doing that. The city, in the offer that they gave toward the renovation, was, hey, we're going to take revenues from the Muni lot and the Willard garage. And I think it's the Willard garage. If it's not, I apologize. It's the garage that's right under City Hall. We're going to take the revenues from those two parking locations, but they don't go into your pockets. They go to cover our obligations toward the stadium repairs. That's not what the Browns want. The Browns want the additional revenue streams of a multi mixed use development project plus 25,000, 20 to 25,000 team controllable parking spaces that they're going to charge probably between $75 and $100 for. Jerry Jones charges $100 to park at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. You know, to park in Pittsburgh up the hill from Acrisure, is that the name of the stadium?
Acrisure
Stadium, whatever the hell they call that thing. Okay. To go up the hill from
Luther Punter, Bjorkes? Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So whatever the thing is called, the old Heinz Field. But it's $75 you basically have to walk a mile up that hill.
Wow.
There's no parking around that stadium. There's
parking in our place now? I don't even know.
What's that?
I quit looking at signs.
I think it's $60 or $65 to park now.
Wow.
Because remember, the city of Cleveland to raise money for the new parking meter system downtown to get us into the, you know, modern age of where you can buy parking on your cell phones.
Right.
They raised the special event rate prices for city lots. It used to be like a limit of $20. So now I think the Muni lot is charging $60 or $65. It's more if you've got one of those camper trailer things.
Yeah.
And then the lot on the north side of the stadium and the west side of the stadium, I think those are both $60 or $65. So, and look, I mean, because Gateway East next to the ballpark and arena is now owned by the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
So the price for that.
Bye bye, isn't it? They're getting rid of it.
Well, at some point they will. Or they're going to make it smaller or something. They want to do
a mall, isn't it?
They want to do like a ballpark village. But they're not even in a conceptual design stage on that yet. Like they haven't even got, you know what I mean? Like they're trying to get this renovation to the finish line first.
Right.
But that garage, I forget but it went up. The price for Cavs games, I noticed the parking's gone up there.
No, it's amazing. It's relative. I think it's only like $20.
No, it's gone up. It's over $30 now.
Oh, it is? It was always.
And then Dan Gilbert.
You drive by all these other lots and then you get right next to the place.
Across the street from the field house where that Nucleus project was supposed to go, and then they tore down that decrepit parking garage and put a parking lot in there for now.
Yeah.
Those are like $60, $65 to park. So so let's say the Browns charge $75 at the Dome to park. That's worth over $1.8 million per event.
Ooh.
In revenue.
$1.8 per event?
Yes. So that is why parking is so vital to the Browns in their pursuit of this Dome project. Is a massive revenue stream for them, as is the mixed-use development, which is going to get built in stages. And my prediction on that is they're only going to build the first stage because they're going to figure out we don't need any more $750,000 condos in the metro Cleveland area. Like,
sure.
We need 125, 150, sub $200,000 condos for folks to be able to afford to live in.
Yeah.
In Northeast Ohio. This is all being done with the premium ticket holder in mind, right?
I know is this. When I do my post-game show on TV,
mm-hmm.
All the people that go in and out of those real high expensive seats, those like $1,000 seats down on the field. I have never seen a group of more wasted people than those guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Every week.
But you know, so
hammered.
The team posted a 20-minute video interview with the one of the architects of the
Dome.
The seats are going to be the closest in the NFL. It's the smallest to the field in the NFL.
Wow.
The visitors are going to come out next to the dog pound, and the dog pound is going to be just like the Clippers Arena, a steep wall. So,
right.
So the fans could be on top of the action there. Mm-hmm. The upper deck is going to be the smallest in the NFL. Obviously, that's so they can sell more premium seating closer to the field. You pay more money. But the Browns are not building this dome for the average fan. Okay. They're building this dome so that they can increase their revenue. And my advice to them is you better start fielding a winning product, because it's been 26 years.
Did you see what the Suns did today?
No.
They thought that – so the average family of four that was going to a Suns game was paying – like okay. They're charging like $2 for a hot dog, drinks, water, popcorn. So Ishba, the guy that owns the team, said, we can't do this to our families. And so you can pretty much – yeah, a family of four can get a couple hot dogs and popcorn and drinks for $25. The teams are going to have to start doing this if they want families to keep coming down.
So. Well, I have actually done the math, and I can't imagine the commitment. Like I can't fathom having disposable income that would allow me to be a season ticket holder, whether it's for the Guardians, the Cavs, or the Browns. Because I
have to work it out so that you can be like a small time season ticket holder.
Yeah,
you
have six games, something like that. Because I mean, I get the I've seen the comments from fans at times to me where they're like, "Oh, you get to sit in your press box. You don't have to pay for your ticket." And that's totally fair. Granted, it's also my job to be there, but I have like done the research, and I have a pretty good understanding of the financial commitment that fans of all three teams in town make as season ticket holders. And like I said, I actually fantasize about having that kind of disposable income to where I could be a season ticket holder for one of those teams and go to games, pay for parking, get concessions, hit up the team store for some new fresh swag every year and stuff like that. I would like to see the Browns, and they try. Like, this isn't an effort thing for them. Like, they're not trying to lose. They're not trying to be the laughing stock of football. They're not trying to be the Charlie Browns. They're just naturally the Charlie Browns. They suck at everything they do and every way in which they do it. And sometimes it's comedic gold, and sometimes it makes you laugh, and sometimes it makes you cry, and sometimes it makes you want to break things. But that's what the Browns do. At some point, though, it is a 22. I got to make sure I get the math right. 22-4 ratio. Four winning seasons to 22 losing seasons. Since this team has come back, that is the reward Browns fans have gotten for 26 seasons, Andy. They've gotten one playoff victory. That's their payoff for hammering the commissioner's office with faxes back in the day, protesting in the streets, going to court and suing the NFL, suing Art Modell. Their reward is the Charlie Browns, who have four winning seasons against 22 losing seasons, 18 of those of the double-digit loss varieties. Browns fans deserve better from this franchise. And if the Haslams want to make more money and keep printing money, they need to start delivering for their fans a winning product year in and year out. It's that simple. You want to charge for $75 to park cars at your place? Fine. Pay for it yourself. Build it yourself. You want to charge $30,000 PSLs or whatever you're going to figure out that you're going to charge for PSLs, then build the place yourself. If you want to raise your ticket prices because it's a new building and you're financing it, then build it yourself. Don't ask taxpayers for any money because you get the profit from it. This isn't the early 90s where NFL teams weren't getting hundreds of millions of dollars in annual revenue from the league. Okay.
Right.
I haven't looked at what the Green Bay, that's the beauty of the Packers being publicly owned. We get the financials become public.
Right.
It's like $300 million. The payroll is covered. And, you know, basically local is profit in the NFL
because of
the network deals and the merchandising and all that. And yes, the players get their cut and player salaries are escalating and they should be. As the profits go up, the players should keep making more money. But my thing is with this dome now, you know what? If you want it,
pay for it.
Build it yourself. Don't wait for these politicians, because if you're waiting for the politicians to give you free money, now
it does sound like the state's going to give them a little bit of money though, for sure. So because Cincinnati's getting some too. All right, Darryl, we got to roll, man. We are on a roll.